killed, and that was it. That was like the end of the era of Bayis Rishon.
So very, you know, innocently, my son asked me, what does this have anything to do with Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Seres Yimei Tshuva? It's like in the middle of nowhere. So it's a great question. That year after year, I'm always like, yeah, we go into some Gedalia and we ask ourselves, like, okay, is this a good day? Is this not a good day? What's going on? Is it good that we ate for 2 days straight and now we have a fast day and now we sort of get to cleanse ourselves? Because that's really how we feel a lot of times on some Gedalia. But obviously, the tragedy of Gedalia being killed, being murdered, it shows you something about the power and the amazing power of the Beis HaMikdash that we do not have nowadays. And on Rosh Hashanah, we're focused on a lot of things. We're worried about a lot of things in Rosh Hashanah. In Rosh Hashanah, we're worried about Parnassah, we're worried about health, we're worried about nachas from our children, we're worried about so many things. What's going to be? What's going to be on Rosh Hashanah? I have a daughter in 8th grade, and she was like, the whole Rosh Hashanah, she's like, oh my gosh, today is decided what high school I'm going to. I have a son finishing high school, and he's like, okay, today is decided which yeshiva gedolah I'm going to. Like my kids all day were like, today is the day. Everything's being decided on Rosh Hashanah. So I want to tell you over a story that I heard the night before Rosh Hashanah. I was listening to a shir with my wife from a Moshe Tov Yalif. And he said over an absolutely amazing story, and I didn't understand the story. I was busy cleaning the house and doing things. I was sort of listening with a half an ear. And on Yontif, it hit me, and the message hit me, and it gave me a completely different perspective on Rosh Hashanah, Aser Shemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, all these days. And here's the story. There was a man that went to the Kotel, to Davin, because he was terribly, terribly poor. Man, the man Manashi, he didn't have a penny to his name. And he went to the Kotel, and he's davening, and davening his heart out, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please send me Parnassa, please send me Parnassa, please send me Parnassa. And he finishes a good, you know, heartfelt davening. After a half hour, he picks himself up from his Tehillim, and he turns to the side, and he notices this fabulously wealthy-looking American guy that just walks into the Kotel Plaza area. We've all had that experience. And what happens when a fabulously-looking wealthy American walks into the Kotel area? Everybody comes running to him and asks him for a donation. So this guy was no different. He comes and he gets, you know, a few seconds with this wealthy guy, and he starts telling him his plight. He starts telling him how poor his family is. We have no money. And then in order to show how poor he was and to bring the situation home, he took off his shoe and he showed him, I want you to see the shoes that I've been wearing for the last year. I can't afford to buy new shoes. And he starts showing him how the bottom of the shoe is completely detached from the shoe. And that's how he's been walking. I've been walking with these shoes, and for 10 minutes he's going on and on. The shoe, the shoe, the shoe. Look how poor I am. The shoe, the shoe, the shoe. The guy looks at him and he says, wow, that's pretty amazing. That's pretty bad. He reaches into his pocket and he takes out a wad. Okay? A wad of 200 $100 bills. That's a lot of money. Okay? That's a lot of money. It's so big. It's such a big wad of bills that he has to wrap a rubber band. You know, the money clip is no good. He's got to wrap the rubber band around the wad of bills. And he takes this wad of bills out of his pocket. And this poor guy is looking at him like, oh my gosh, I hit the jackpot over here. He takes his wad of bills out. He opens it up. And he takes off the rubber band. And he hands it to the guy and says, here, this is for your shoe. And he walks away. And he's standing there with a rubber band. Did that really happen? Did he really just give me a rubber band? And not any money? And I remember I was listening to the story. I'm like, you know, it's a cute story. It's a cute story. And then in the middle of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah Day, the story and the lesson hit me. All day, we're thinking about what? We're thinking about, like what we said before, our premasa, our health, all these things. We're thinking about it and thinking about it. It's occupying our minds. And in the back of our minds, not even to cut, it's very conscious in our minds. But you're like, there's no Shema Kalina, like we mentioned Friday night. Like, there's no Shema Kalina, there's no Baruch Kalina, there's no Rafeinu. There's nowhere we could say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please, I need parnasa this year. I need nachas, I need health, I need all these things. But it's very much in our minds, and we know Kadosh Baruch Hu reads our minds. And we're like, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know what I want. You know I want this, and you know what I want that, and you know I want that, you know I want that. So what do we want? We want a Kadosh Baruch Hu to take off the rubber band and give it to us? Because when we ask for these type of things, that's what we're going to get. We're going to get the rubber band. So what is the water bills? What's the thing we should be asking for? And we should be thinking about not just on Rosh Hashanah, but also throughout Aser Shemei Tshuva, and also on Yom Kippur. What does the Kaddish Baruch Hu want? We know that when, back in the day, we had a very beautiful building called the Beis HaMikdash, and when the Shechina rested in this beautiful building, a tremendous, tremendous amount of bracha came into the world. I didn't have in mind to say the story, but I'm going to say the story. I was once, during the 9 days, a few years ago, I used to go the 9 days every single day to the Kotel, and in between Mincha and Ma'arav, I just sat in the back on the steps, and in front of the other yeshiva over there, they just sat over there, and I sat down over there, and I used to just, you know, just focus on the wall, the 9 days, the Chorban. And a guy taps me on the shoulder, and he says, "Beautiful, isn't it?" I said, "Well, you know, it used to be. You know, it used to be a really beautiful structure. This is all we have left." I said, "This is beautiful. All the Jewish people, how they come here." And I got to talking, had a conversation with this guy. Turns out he's not Jewish. He lives in Israel. For whatever reason is, he came on a trip a few years earlier. He loved the land. He decided he was coming back. And we got into a conversation. I explained to him, I said, "I don't think you realize what this structure is." And I explained to him that there used to be a building over here that so much bracha came out of this building that it wasn't just for the Jews. It was for the whole world. And when the Goyim destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and as we unfortunately remember today, the last remnants of that Bayis Rishon, everything was destroyed. All the bracha that was in the world was destroyed. And I told him, I said, the non-Jewish people who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't realize what they were destroying. They didn't realize they were cutting off their own, you know, their own bracha line. They were cutting it all off. It's like the famous mashal of the doctor who was formulating this formula to heal a certain disease that was spreading throughout the country, and he finally figured out the perfect ingredients, and he's going from city to city and giving out to all the people who are sick. And one time, in between cities, in the middle of the night, he got hijacked by a bunch of robbers, and one of the robbers went over to the suitcase that was holding all the medicine, and he was about to pick it up and throw it on the floor and smash all the... And the doctor said, "You don't want to do that. I'm telling you, you don't want to do that. That's going to mess up a lot of people." And he went ahead, threw the suitcase on the floor. All the stuff went all over the floor, all the formula, everything, all over the place. And that was it. The next morning, he came to the city, and everyone's lined up for the doctor who has this special formula to heal this disease. And the doctor noticed in the crowd somebody who looked very, very familiar. This is the guy 6 hours earlier in the middle of the night. He's the one that came to steal all my money and to break all my things. And he turned to them and he says, "I'm very sorry, but you ruined your own thing. You ruined your own cure." And he was crying, "Please, there's got to be something left." And he says, "Sorry, you cut off your own line." And that's what the Goyim did. They cut off their own line. And that's what we sort of do on Rosh Hashanah, Aser Shemei Tshuva, and Yom Kippur, when we don't ask for certain things. We don't ask for the ikar during Aser Shemei Tshuva. And we don't desire the ikar on Aser Shemei Tshuva. And what is the ikar? We want the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. We want a Kaddish Baruch Hu to be happy. How is a Kaddish Baruch Hu happy? When he's down here and he's bringing out bracha throughout the world. The Mishnayos and Rosh Hashanah, whoever did it over Rosh Hashanah, would talk about Melchamas Amalek and how Moshe Rabbeinu's hands, when they went up, so they were victorious. When they went down, they were losing the battle. Obviously, that doesn't make sense. The Mishnah talks about what? His hands decide who's winning, who's losing. So my Rebbe, just in clarifying the Mishnah and understanding what really happened, when Klal Yisrael is looking at Moshe Rabbeinu's hands, they're looking up toward, they're looking high. They're looking up, and when they're looking up, they're looking at Shemayim. When they're looking at Shemayim, they have a focus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when they recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in Tzar, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy that a nation came along and started off with Klal Yisrael, and that Klal Yisrael, now all the other nations are going to realize that the bathtub isn't so hot anymore, and that they're all going to join the club to pick on Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very much Tzar because of that. And when we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tzar, so then we'll be victorious. But if we look down here and we're just looking at our own, we're just looking at, hey, how can I, you know, get behind the tree and kill this guy? How can I do that? Kadosh Baruch Hu says you're not focused on the right thing. Obviously, when we go to war, our mindset is that we want to have the right equipment, we want to have the right strategy, and that's on our minds. But over here, by Melchamas HaMelech, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, if you focus on me, on my pain, then I will take care of you. If you don't focus on my pain, and you're going to worry about your own needs, so then you're going to have to fend for yourselves. That's not going to be easy. So our focus during these days are, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? It's not just what I want. It's what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in pain. He's in pain. When you see how the world is going, and we see everything, how life moves, and I'm not going to start sitting here talking about technology and all the things that have either ruined the world or helped the world or all these type of things. It's not my place. It's not, I don't think it's the forum for that. But there are so many things that we all know as individuals and as a whole that have gotten us to a situation where we're so far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where we're so far away from realizing that what we're doing is not bringing nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So during these days, the concept, the idea, the focus should be, how can I bring nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How can I put a smile on his face? How could I do what he wants, not what I want? I want all these things, but is that what we want when we go to the Kotel and we're going to have to ask the rich guy for the money and he's going to just give us the rubber band? Is that what we want? We want to live a rubber band life? Or do we want the real thing? We want the Beis HaMikdash. We want a Kadosh Baruch Hu to live amongst us and to give the bracha that he has always done, that he's always given us. Every year on Tisha B'Av, there's this like famous line of saying, like, let this year be the last Tisha B'Av. My hope is that let this Rosh Hashanah, Aser Shemei Tshuva and Yom Kippur, be the last year where we have to ask for a Beis HaMikdash, where we have to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's pain. Let this year, let this day, and all the days coming up, although it's very hard today because we're fasting, and it's right after Rosh Hashanah, but there should be a chizuk. The day should get stronger. Tomorrow's Thursday. It should be a very powerful day in yeshiva. And Sunday and Monday should be even more powerful. Leading up to Yom Kippur, Be'ez Hashem, this will be the last Aser Shemei Tshuva where we have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and may we all be zeichet to put a smile on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face.